The Buddha Dharma is real. And particularly, see, if you truly appreciate it during a training period and you try to sustain it. That's, in these last 2 weeks, what I have tried to build to sustain it. What is it? Is it real? Is it real in the way I talk about it? Nyogen talks about it. Because if you don't see the living force, if you don't see the fluidity of the spontaneous arising prajna, see, if you stay locked in a conceptual understanding of Dharma, it is beneficial, but it isn't transcendental. See, and the whole point to Buddhism is the evolution of your consciousness. To jump beyond this level of functioning, this is the realm of samsara. And the Shakyamuni himself said, this is the illusory body. And this can be seen, this can be experienced, realized, actualized, see. Realizing it, we can do that rather easily. But to truly actualize it is extremely difficult. Maizumi Roshi, on one occasion, said to me, he said, Nyogen, he said, I see it very clearly, but actualizing it, I am still so green. Yamada Roshi, his Dharma brother, and put together the Gateless Gate that we read, see, he said 40 to 50 years seeing this, a glimpse of it, some realization, is relatively easy. But to actualize it, see, and without it being actualized, see, it is only modestly, see, transcendental as far as your life goes. Unfortunately, what most people will do, and this is, Tore said this in the Undying Lamp of Zen, we'll see something. See, and then what happens? And you've heard me here talk about that with some of our folks. See, that I made a mistake in the way I was working with them. Had Maizumi Roshi still been alive, and the situation is also very true for Roshi because he was extremely precocious and young, and he didn't have the benefit of his teachers, his old teachers, who have been through this. See, I tried to help. See, I thought I was helping people by sort of shaking them inside the Dokson room, trying to get them. And it was Anto who sort of woke me up to this, I think to her dismay. See, she said, Nyogen, you can get me to see something in there. And she said, when I'm walking down the hallway back to my seat, it's like the window closes. See, well, if you keep coming, see, to the practice, eventually the window opens and it stays open for longer, longer periods. And each time the window opens, in a certain sense, a fiber is cut, see, in this rope, this noose, see, of the egocentric mind. Each opening we see something, but if you don't sustain it, see, and this is what Tore taught, it simply becomes more concepts. And then what happens is that you rigidly fixate on your concepts, and then you hold, and you don't move beyond that. And Tore says, it's a tragedy, see, that they don't understand that there is another door that opens, more profound and deeper. Buddha Dharma, see, is real. See, those of you, see, who have gotten sick of sickness, who are sick of continuously spinning in the realm of samsara, see, you're here at the ideal time to practice. See, and what is this practice that we talk about? So I'm going to pick up Dogen again. I'm having a lot of fun with Dogen. and Dogen, in a certain sense, probably the only person who was uniquely qualified to understand Dogen Zenji, to interpret or translate Dogen Zenji, was Maizumi Roshi, because he could also read the Chinese. And see, he studied it, and he loved the old Chinese poetry. And I, at one point, we had it here, every year he would do, in the Chinese style, see, a memorial poem to his father. Not only could he read Dogen in Dogen's original, but he had tremendous spiritual insight. See, And he copped out. He jumped over the side of the boat, leaving me sort of dangling as far as I'm concerned, because I had plans. And they used to talk, Nyogen's plans. You want to make Roshi laugh, tell him about Nyogen's plans. See, because he was pushing me, I was going to work with four students and live up in the mountains, see, and help Roshi. That was it. I knew when he got back from Japan, I could convince him, four students only. See, good luck with that. He probably caught that and said, let's just go over the side now and see how he works with it. See, so, and we see how we work with it. See, anyway, the great Dogen Zenji. See, Dogen, in a certain sense, everything that he states is a koan. And the trick to Dogen, and I think some of you have appreciated that here, or at least I felt that holding it up as clearly as I could, with my immaturity, that some of you began to see. Some of you began to see beyond the confusion, see, of words and phrases. See, we have to go beyond. And each koan, that's the issue. Each koan. Nobody can tell you how to work with that koan. You have to work with it. And it's even more important is that you are even giving yourself the talk today. See, we've worked on that. But let's see what Dogen has to say about that. Let's see if how I have experienced my openings, see, will Dogen validate, give verification to some of this, that you are giving yourself this talk. This FASCO, for those who want to check it out, is Self-Realization Samadhi. Self-Realization Samadhi. See, now again, if Roshi was here, he could give us the nuances. And they are profoundly different. See, and he jerked me in one day at Mountain Center during a Shobo Genzo week. And he had given out his translation. I think Dr. Cook may have done help. They'd been working on it for the English version, see. And he saw me carrying another translation of it. He says, Nyogen, what's that? And I said, I'll be honest. See, this other guy would explain the meaning of Dogen. So I thought, that's great. See, now I understand what this guy had no idea what Dogen was talking about. But I thought, you know, he's given me an explanation. He tells me what it is. So I said, oh, that's good, good. Bring your book. We went up to his room, Mountain Center, see, and he put out the handout he'd given me. Given all of us, and then he put the book that I was at, and we started down line by line, and it became, you know, half a paragraph in, it was very obvious to me that there was a major difference, see. And needless to say, I put the book up that I had, and I carried Roshi's around the rest of the thing. But Dogen is worth the struggle. And the way you read Dogen, and this is instructions given to me by Maizumi Roshi, he said, Nyogen, just simply read it. And don't try to too much develop a conceptual or an intellectual understanding. Read it, because the process is working. See, and this rising of prajna comes out of this deep alaya consciousness. And he said, it's like spreading seeds. And in the time, in given time, those seeds will begin to sprout. And I think in this room, we have all, begin to experience some of the appreciation for Dogen. At first, I just thought Dogen was terrible. And I once told Roshi he was a martinet. And Roshi accepted that. I mean, looked at me and thought, poor silly fool, see. But it rigid. Sometime we'll pick up. And Dogen really, really knows what he's talking about, see? But here it is, self-realization, samadhi. Let me clarify for you, what is samadhi? Samadhi is a state of non-distracted awareness. Where is that place of non-distracted awareness? Don't think. See, trust it. Right here. Now don't think. Don't try to understand it. See if you can sustain the awakened state here now. Dogen says, what has been authentically transmitted by all Buddhas, including the seven original Buddhas, is self-realization samadhi. It calls for following a teacher and following a sutra. This is the eyeball of Buddha ancestors. This self-realization. See, following. Why? See, what is he talking here? A sutra. But he's going to break all of this down for you. Following. Why? Why do you need to work with a teacher? Why do you need to work with a sutra? Do you know what a teacher is? Do you know what a sutra is? First off, if you simply stay trapped, see, in the ruminating mind, involvement only with self, you will not clarify the point. If you are trapped in thinking that you've got it, you know, see, again, you will never clarify, you will never move out, see, of the delusional state of the six senses. Thursday night I talked about this a little bit. I hammered on it. I asked Mushoku, did I offend people? She said she didn't think so, but some of you may be offended, and I don't even care. But if I just wanted to point that out, you may have been. Self-serving activities. See, if you're constantly involved with serving the self, this is Dogen's criticism of Hinayana practice. See, because the great vehicle, see, there is no liberation until you see what this body of oneness is. If you're functioning from the trap there in the six senses, see, always working for self-satisfaction, self-promotion, see, self-whatever else you can hook, see, that's egocentric. See, in the Bodhisattva way, the Bodhisattva, see, goes through all of the steps. See, and they reach a point where the Bodhisattva realizes that they can't even save themselves. Think about that. Service of self. You can't save yourself. At that point, if you're motivated, if you're moved by the pain and the suffering that you see swirling around you in samsara, see, you have to see that. The pain and the suffering. And if your practice is real, you become far more sensitive to that. See? And at that point, see, the Bodhisattva says to themselves, see, I may never be able to do this, but my God, look at the children. Look at the pain. Now I make a vow that I will not enter into nirvana until I have saved all suffering sentient beings. That's the vow of a bodhisattva. Until I have made that. And do you know what happens at that point? Transformation. There now becomes a functioning Buddha. That's the last vestige of self. I'm going to save the self. I have something special. See? In the egocentric sense, you simply spin. And even if you try to do good, and we do good, we try to do good, it's better than doing bad. We act as if enlightened, like Roshi said. But Roshi also said that no matter how brilliant your mind and benign, see, thinking of yourself as doing good, you will always cause some trouble. For some of you, I've given you this to play with. Become the least grain of sand on the beach. And if you can do that, you're going to find the doorway to freedom. This is the typical eyeball of Buddha ancestors. Where is it? Quiet. Quiet. Don't seek for anything. See? He said one time, Wei Neng, old Buddha, Cao Chi, ask a monk, Do you depend upon practice and enlightenment? The monk replied, it's not that there is no practice and no enlightenment. It's just that it is not possible to divide them. See, where do we divide? In the egocentric mind, the three poisons, greed, anger, and ignorance. That's the realm of samsara. Look around you. Look at the Middle East. Look at the little ones coming across the border. The places in they're coming from. Honduras, Nicaragua. See, these places are so horrific that the parents are throwing them at this border because there the chances are they will die. And the hope, see, of what we used to think this country represented, see, a sanctuary when you are down and hurt. I talked about Mother Teresa, See, and if you don't, like Mother Teresa, if you don't see this great body of oneness, she could get on her hands and knees and she could cleanse and bathe this body, this leprous, festering body of this man that they brought in off the street. We would walk by him, but she bathed him, see, with her hands. See, and people would say, why could she and how could she do that? Because all Mother Teresa saw was God. And let me tell you, if that's all she saw, and if God is down and hurting like that, and you walk past him, what kind of karma do you pick up? See, can you imagine? See, what an amazing thing. The monk replied, it's not that there's no practice in enlightenment, it's just that it's not possible to divide them. This being so, know that the undividedness of practice in enlightenment is itself the Buddha ancestors. It is the thunderstorm of the Buddha's ancestors, Samadhi. Samadhi. See, there is no division here. Dogen said, practice is enlightenment. Where is practice? Here. And what is practice? The state of samadhi. You see? If you don't see, if you don't hear, we did it in the service today. If you don't see, you don't see it even as you're walking on it. It isn't something that you conceptualize. It isn't something that you theorize about. See, it goes beyond. It transcends. It becomes this state of being. At the very moment of following a teacher, you encounter with half a face or half a body, or you encounter with the entire face or the entire body. At times you encounter half a self or and another half a self. You realize a spirit's hairy head and practice a demon's horned face. At times you follow others while traveling in the midst of different beings, and at other times you travel differently while being born with those who have the same kind of birth. In this way, you let go of yourself for the sake of Dharma without knowing how many thousands of times you do it. What he's telling you here is all of the gyrations you go through with the egocentric mind trapped in the world of samsara, pulled and tugged, that is the practice. See, and how many times you return to here, that makes no difference. It is eternal. This most amazing thing that you are. See, if you have the courage to step from the top of a 100-foot pole, koan, how do you step from the top of a 100-foot pole? Give up all of your cues, your clues. Give up your likes and your dislikes. See if you have the courage to step into the next moment, freed from the picking and choosing mind. There's your Xin Xin Ming. Step into here. See, but do it. Have you already lost it? That quickly, if you try to understand, it's gone. He said, when you follow a sutra, you thoroughly experience your skin, your flesh, your bones, and marrow. When you drop away your skin, flesh, bones, and marrow, all of the sudden, the emergence of the eye of seeing peach blossoms is encountered, and the roaring sound of bamboo is heard in your ear consciousness. Those are from two koans, where the old master, after he'd taken care and was sweeping, and a pebble in the bamboo, bump, bump, the roaring, as he's, this isn't a subtle, tiny, bump, bump. See, ear consciousness. See, peach blossoms, the one had struggled and struggled, and was on the journey, he looked up and saw the peach blossoms, and something occurred. Contrary to what modern teachers here have to say, that there is no enlightenment, these old masters experienced enlightenment. Shakyamuni Buddha, the transformation was enlightenment. Enlightenment is real. And I've told all of you the story. See, when the monk or the guy came in because somebody, some monk had said, enlightenment is a joke. And some of you will probably even in your own hearts treat enlightenment as a joke. It's not real. See? And that's what the man said to Roshi in there in Shosan. He said, this monk has said that enlightenment's a joke. "What do you think, teacher?" And Roshi looked at the man and he said, "Is suffering a joke? Is suffering a joke? Is a little child, little children crossing a desert, being beaten, raped, starving, is that a joke? Is that a joke? When you can make that a joke," Roshi said, "enlightenment is a joke." And I wanted to turn backflips for my teacher. See? When you follow and study a sutra, it emerges. It emerges. Prajna rising. See, when you follow and study a sutra, it emerges. A sutra means the entire world of the 10 directions. Mountains, rivers, the earth, grass, trees, self and others. It is having a meal, putting on a robe, and engaging in activities. And don't conceptualize this, or you've turned it in to simply conceptual understanding. That is the great sutra. We've done this before. Where is this sutra? This is the sutra. Koan after koan points to this sutra. If you can't go beyond the words, see, you're trapped in an intellectual understanding and it will fail. See, when you need it, see, your greed will override your anger. And some of you in here, you know that. See, we have to fully cut the root of the ego. How do we do that? Practice. See, self-realization, samadhi, practice. When you study the way, following a sutra, this, and what is the study of the way, is to forget the self. To forget the self. What self are we taught? Does that mean I disappear, go blink? No, trapped in the six senses. See, entering into the great body of oneness. Where is that, Nyogen? Where? Here, don't think. Sustain this. Sustain this. And he just said up here, thousands of times, doesn't matter. Up at Mountain Center, we had this one big gathering. I don't even remember what it was. See, and Roshi was there. And there were a lot of people, really just tons of people up there. And there was this one old woman, an elderly woman, beautifully dressed. And she, her hair was this white. And it kind of reminded me of my grandmother's hair. You know, the bluing stuff, that what was it they used, you know? And she was sitting across, like where Shinyo is from me. And Roshi was right here, see? And she just kept looking at me. She was actually a little pinny. And I sort of felt uncomfortable. Kept looking, see? And whatever Roshi was saying after, when it was out, I left, went downstairs, and I was standing outside. And she walked right up to me. And she said, "I just thought I would tell you that you have been a monk thousands of times. You have done this over and over and over." And she left. See? And I looked up there, and Roshi was watching me. And the minute she left, he came down. And he asked me, he said, "Nyogen, do you know who that woman is?" And I said, "No, Roshi, I have no idea." He said, "She's a very famous psychic." So I told him what she said, and he laughed. Because I had complained about how long I'd been practicing. When you study the way following a sutra, thousands and myriads of sutras that have never existed emerge and become present. See, I've talked about this before. I can't, and I made a mistake. I tried to tell. You will have the most amazing. See, sutras emerge. I got to be careful. See, it's because people won't go to the practice. They'll try to conceptualize. See, yes, this is absolutely true. The teaching is there. You will always find. See, there will be a direct teaching. I have been given a direct teaching by a couple of the Chan masters of old. See? And I was wondering, where did that come from? I mean, I knew the name, and I knew what was told to me. He's telling you here, this is the most amazing thing. See? He said, at the present time, there are less than half a myriad of scrolls. Myriad. There is half a myriad of scrolls and scriptures translated from Sanskrit into China. There are the three vehicles, the five vehicles, the nine divisions, and the 12 divisions among these scriptures. What are all of these? These are simply some old master's description of you. Isn't this amazing? See, just a description of you. Every sutra. See, now make this very personal. See, every sutra is the finger pointing directly at you. There is no one outside of this amazing realm of your consciousness, of your Buddha mind. What Buddha? Awake. Your awake mind, not your delusional mind trapped in the six senses. See?